You're listening to KNKX, and folks around the region are going to get their primary ballots here in the next few weeks. But Seattleites, they're going to see a lot of names, especially in the mayor's race. There are 21 people hoping to lead the state's largest city. Seattle Times politics reporters Jim Bruner and Dan Beekman have been following the ins and outs of the most viable campaigns. They sat down with local political consultant Monisha Harrell to talk about how to make sense of one of the most crowded races in Seattle's history. You'll hear Dan ask the first question.
Right now, we're hurtling towards a primary election, an August primary election. Ballots go out real soon. Who do you think of the 21 candidates on the ballot gets through the primary and is one of those top two vote getters that advances to the November general election, if you had to place your bets right now?
Well, if I had to place my bets right now, I still think it's anybody's game within the top six. And the reason being is who's supporters come out and actually vote. Who has a voting block that can't be peeled away by another candidate? You need to be able to have a loyal base, so a base that's going to pick you first amongst everybody else. And there are a couple candidates that potentially have that base. I would definitely say that Senator Hasegawa potentially has that base, where between the API community and those people who live in the South Seattle area, he could be the number one.
Right. State Senator Bob Hasegawa, longtime legislator from Beacon Hill, and former labor movement leader as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you've got 21 candidates, you know, 15% could be all you need to get through. And so it's just who's got loyalists.
You know, you mentioned Bob Hasegawa. It's interesting. He is still a current member of the state legislature. He cannot raise money. Is it really feasible to run a mayoral campaign in a big city like this without raising campaign contributions?
It is absolutely feasible when you have this many people on the ballot. If this were a limited race, if this were a race with two or three or four people, it would be much harder to do. But in a race with 21 people, you have the ability to just, you know, have your loyalists. But also, that gives us Jessen Farrell, somebody who, again, 46th district, a district that votes in a high percentage. Now, so that's going to be the tricky part with Senator Hasegawa, which is in his district, the 11th district, they don't vote at at the higher percentages that would happen in the 46th district. And so Jessen is another one who could have a collection of loyalists who also turn out at a higher voting rate.
That's just to remind folks that former state representative until recently, Jessen Farrell, the 46th district is Northeast Seattle.
And you mentioned turnout. I did want to touch on that. It's an August 1st primary mail-in date. What do you think the turnout is going to be like, and what are the demographics going to be, and how does that play?
You know, I often wonder as somebody who studied marketing, whether or not too many candidates actually keep people at home. You know, there's that old experiment that if you have 5 jars of jam, somebody will pick a jar of jam. If you got 15 jars of jam, people bypass the jam aisle altogether.
Do you think there could be a Trump bump? In other words, a lot of folks around here, progressive, left-leaning electorate, were upset with Donald Trump being elected president back in November, but a lot of folks were also energized.
Well, the thing is that we're not talking about a race where we're going, you know, red versus blue. This is Seattle, and this isn't Georgia 6, right? This isn't the sort of area where if I don't vote for this person, then Trump wins. That's just not going to happen, and everybody kind of knows that. And so I think that it does dissipate the energy, because when you're fighting over different shades of blue, it's whether or not they want to get in the mud and fight amongst family.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I was at a candidates forum the other day, and Jenny Durkin, the former U.S. attorney, on her sort of stump speech, was talking about how she would be a good mayor for Seattle resisting Donald Trump. I didn't get the sense that played particularly well in the room. The people in the room might have agreed with her, but what they wanted to talk about, from what I saw, was local issues, the hyper-local, the zoning, the density, homelessness.
Mayor Ed Murray, I don't think we can avoid the question in the room with him. He has not ruled out the possibility, at least as of now, of running as a write-in candidate, possibly a declared write-in candidate.
Oh, he would absolutely affect the race. And the whether or not he has a shot really would depend on whether or not he could pull together a campaign team.
Right.
That's particularly tricky.
We talked about this a little last week for an article I wrote. And, you know, I think you pointed out, or others have pointed out too, that he faces logistical issues. His campaign team has all gone to other candidates. Some have gone to Jenny Durkin. I think he has somebody working with Jessen Farrell. So, you know, who's going to do the work?
Absolutely. He still has to run the city during the day. And so he would need a full-time team. He would need an experienced team. What you don't have right now is you don't have a lot of experienced politicos out of work.
If you don't have a job in this race, you know, you got to look at your credentials or something.
I mean, it's time to make some serious life choices if you do not have a job right now.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was political consultant Monisha Harrell talking to Seattle Times reporters Jim Bruner and Dan Beekman about the Seattle mayor's race. The conversation is an excerpt from this week's episode of The Overcast, the Seattle Times local politics podcast. If you want to hear more about specific candidates' strengths and weaknesses, you can find The Overcast anywhere you get your podcasts.